Hello, and welcome to episode number 5 of the Technician Academy podcast, brought to you by Extend Performance. In this episode, Richard talks with Judy Zimmerman-Walter. Judy is the owner of Zimmerman's Automotive in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Judy was recognized as the 2016 Women in Auto Care Shop Owner of the Year at Apex in November. We hope that you enjoy this episode of the Technician Academy podcast, brought to you by Extend Performance.
Welcome to the Technician Academy podcast. Today, we're fortunate enough to have Judy Zimmerman-Walter as our guest today. Judy won the 2016 Women in Auto Care Award for Shop Owner of the Year. Judy, welcome.
Thank you. Very glad to be with you.
So, Judy, you're in Mechanicsburg, PA. Is that correct?
That is correct. South Central Pennsylvania, just outside of Harrisburg, the state capital.
Yeah, and you give me some interesting information that Mechanicsburg actually got its name from a settlement of wagon mechanics during the Civil War. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, there was the wagons often went from Harrisburg to Carlisle, which is the county seat, and it was probably like a 30-mile distance, and that was pretty far for wagons in that time. And so Mechanicsburg was like halfway between, and they would stop and get axles broken or just wheels need to replace or whatever in Mechanicsburg. And there's like a settlement here. And so it just became Mechanicsburg because that's where you got your wagon fixed.
That's interesting. But it's almost as interesting as how you started in the industry. You told me that as a kid, you played in the shop and did a lot of odd jobs. Now, was that at the age of 5 or 10 or 12? Or how old did you start in the shop for your dad?
How old did I start? Well, at 5, I think your mom sent you out and go tell your father dinner's ready, because my house was right behind the shop, so pretty young. But actually, we started helping in the, we had like a small, well, they're big C stores now, but we'd sold some candy and bread and ice cream and a few things like that in the front office. And I started helping with that when I was like 10, 12, just for the fun of it. There was other people there, adults, so it's not like we did it alone, like I did it alone, but we just, for the fun of it, you know, yeah. Hey, can you watch the candy counter for a couple hours, that kind of thing. Yeah. So.
Now, the shop itself, obviously, and we'll get into that a little bit later, how it's moved and progressed and evolved over the years, but your dad or your granddad and dad started that shop, is that correct?
Actually, my dad started the shop, and then about a couple years after he was running it, he started in June of 58, he talked my grandfather into quitting his job as a carpenter and coming to help him run the shop as it grew and could support more family. So
right.
Kind of brought Grandpa in with him.
Oh, okay.
For that.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. I mean, you've had auto repair in your blood since a very young age. And interesting, you told me after high school you become a W-2 employer and that's an interesting way to put that. That kind of tells me that you didn't get a job just because you were your dad's daughter, the shop owner's daughter. You actually had to justify being there. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, that is correct. When I started with the company right out of high school in 75, I pumped gas. I did the books, the daily books. Back then, gas and go had not come through yet. You know, the gas we know now that you pump your own was not through. So somebody pumped it. And when you pump gas, you also check the oil, added oil, transmission fluid, that kind of thing. So I helped with all that. And I also would do the accounting. In Pennsylvania, there's a lot of paperwork for inspection. I did a lot of that. And I also just, somebody would pull up to a door when it was cold in the winter, blow the horn, you'd go out and open the door for them, that kind of thing. We didn't have automatic door openers then, like we do now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a time, I mean, that was truly full service filling
yes,
station.
It was.
To check air and fluids and all that while the customer, a lot of the time, probably just sat in the car and allowed you to do that. That probably helped build a customer base for even your current shop. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely, yes. I still have a few customers that will come looking and see if Judy's still here, because they're rather elderly, because I'm getting up there in age. But they're still coming looking for me, or their children that were with them. I remember you used to pump gas when I was a little girl, that kind of thing. So Yep, I remember. I've been there.
So this industry, I mean, as fast paced as this world is today, there's still room for customer service and taking care of the customer as a repair shop. Those relationships will continue to build, and taking care of granddaughters and great granddaughters and stuff. You know, that builds an impressive shop. And speaking of that, I see where you won the 2014 Motor Age Top Shop. Well, how was that? I mean, was that exciting or?
Yes, it was. It was exciting. It was something that I kind of put out to my guys, and it took a lot of background work, a lot of photos, a lot of writing, and so it's kind of the thing that probably a lot of people. Shops could win it, but it takes a lot of writing. You had to answer a lot of questions. And you also had to think about where your shop came from and what your goals were for the future and what sets you kind of apart from every other shop in town and what you do for your employees for training and accept those kind of things.
Yeah. And training is a very important thing, especially today, the way cars continue to evolve and the technology within today's cars. So training is very important, and we'll talk on that here in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So as this young lady at that time, was there many other girls that were out in the bay or working with their dad under the hood?
No, I think if they were, they weren't. Nobody talked about it. As a rule, I was probably one of few females in a role where I was helping to make decisions. I was helping to talk to parts people, to vendors walking through the door. I was part of the face of the business with the community, or with my customers at least. And I was I'm probably unique in that. And people, they really didn't know how to deal with me because usually a husband and wife were doing it together, but the wife stayed in the background and the man kind of met everybody. And a lot of times I don't think they really knew what to do with me as a female, but yet they knew that I was not a force to be reckoned with, but a person that really did help run the business. And I'm not the only person that ran it because we're a family-owned operation with three families involved here. So, and the reasoning that is my father's the very oldest of the family. And a few years later, his younger brothers came in helping in the business as it grew. And then I came into the business a few years later. And I'm actually in business today with my two uncles who are only 5 and 10 years older than I am. So it's okay. You can see that's kind of a unique family where lots of kids, and my dad was the oldest and they were the youngest.
Yeah. And having that tradition and having that family in the industry, that creates some stability for your customers.
Absolutely.
And knowing that, hey, you know, Judy's down there or, you know, your uncles, Jay or Paul are there too. And then your husband also is involved. Is that correct?
Yes, he is. My husband, Jeff, has been involved with the business since a year after myself. He actually has done some other industry work for a while, but just recently we brought him back in on a daily basis because we're looking to the future, looking at my uncle's retiring. And we're not just a small company, we're a bigger company. And so we have 29 employees and we need to I need someone to help me steer the ship as we look at the way the industry is changing and as we head to the future.
Yeah. You know, you say 29 employees and you're at a 2,000 square foot facility and
it's a 20,000 square foot. Yeah.
Or pardon me, 20,000. Yeah. I got my zeros messed up there, but yeah, 20,000 square foot. And you're also running a used car division. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. We have.
When did that start?
We started the used car division in 1986. Basically, when we got rid of gasoline, we decided to go into the used car division. And my one uncle, Jay Zimmerman, is kind of the one that runs that division. And we've had as high as 50 cars on the lot. But over the times the economy got rough, we backed it back a little. We're at about 35 to 40 right now. And then we do custom buying as well. So if somebody wants a two-year-old Tahoe, kind of higher end, it's kind of vehicle you don't want to sink a lot of money on for the lot as a spec buy, but you can buy it if you're buying it for someone that exactly wants it. So
yeah. So again, building that relationship, yes. It's not only a repair shop, but you're tailoring to the customer's needs and building that relationship that's so vitally important in today's industry. So you currently employ 6 ASE certified technicians.
Yeah.
12 bay service shop.
Mm-hmm. I have about 8 employees in the quick lube. Some of those are co-op students where they go to their high school seniors. They go to school half a day and then they come to my facility instead of going to Votech, and that they're learning. They're actually considered apprentices, so you can get around you can work with the child labor laws that they can actually do things in a shop before 18 because they're in an apprenticeship program and they're learning. And it's a good way to see if this is what they really want for their life. Do they really want to go into automotive, being an auto tech, or do they just made a mistake or just this isn't for me and I want to get out?
Yeah, I mean, this industry, it's involved to get into it, especially as a technician. There's the expense of if you go to school, then there's the expense of tools.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've made that commitment, it's a good idea that you're fully committed to making that step, especially working with high school students. That gives them a grasp of what this industry involves. And, mm-hmm. a lot of places, I know it's kind of a mentorship, I guess, but, mm-hmm. Being able to provide that, especially at such a young age, that's a great directional. How many students do you have?
I have 4 right now.
4?
Okay. I have 4 students right now. And I even have a female student right now. That girl is driven. She wants to be a dealership tech. But we'll see. I'm still trying to talk her to staying on the independent side, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I know that female in the industry is not something new, but it is important. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I mean, I guess there has been a stigma in the past with that. I actually went to college, automotive college, with a female, and she was exceptional in her abilities. And I find mm-hmm. that quite a bit in some of the, we do, a Technician Academy does college courses on site.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally there'll be 1 or 2 females in the college class. And it is amazing how quick they are to answer the questions. And they seem so much more driven than a lot of the male students. And this mm-hmm. industry is wide open to them. Especially, one of the pluses is the female technician can speak directly to the female car owner
mm-hmm.
in a way that most of us males can't.
I think that as far as customers, we probably have a few more female customers that trust, that want to come here because we have the females that in ownership. And I have some females. I have the female tech in the lube center. And right now, I don't have any female techs in my main shop just because there aren't any to hire. But when I hire, I will be honest. I hire because of what they're good at and how good they are at what they do. I'm not going to hire a technician just because she's female, just because I want a token female. I think that's a thing that our country even has pushed, that, don't you want to hire me? I'm female. And it's like, no, I'm going to hire you because you're good at what you do mm-hmm. and you're good at your job. Because that's the big thing with me, with what I do, is I'm female. I'm a female shop owner, but I want to be known as I knew my industry and I know what I know what to do and how to hire people and so on. I want to be known as my talents. I have the right talents. I don't want to be the token, quote-unquote, right. female.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed that out because that is extremely important.
It is, yes.
Especially in this industry where it is such a relationship-based mm-hmm. industry that, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, the token female technician, that's, in my opinion, not a good thing to take, not a good stance to take because...
No.
I think it degrades, first off, it degrades technicians, and it degrades female technicians.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of female technicians out there that's extremely talented. And I was recently at a Rankin University, which is one of the leading automotive schools in the Midwest. And the instructor there I've known for quite some time was telling me about a female that had come through their program. And one of the OE manufacturers was after her, wanting her to come work for them in their engineering department. And they offered her some very, very lucrative offers, and she turned them down. And her whole reason was she wanted to turn wrenches and learn the industry from the ground up. And mm-hmm. I just thought that was really a good example of how she's going to go far by not taking the easy road. And that's one of the things. Mm-hmm. She's not going to be a token technician. She's going to be a technician that deserves respect in the bay.
Right. Exactly.
So, was there ever a time that you didn't want to be in the automotive industry as you were growing up and moving into the positions at your dad's repair shop?
No, I would say there wasn't. I loved cars. I grew up around cars. When we were kids, we had all kinds of stuff that little race cars and go-karts that we ran around, and I didn't always work on them, but I loved riding them, and I Judy was going to get her turn. And then as cars came along, I learned to drive clutch for the first time my husband's, he had a 70 Dodge Super B, and it was a competition clutch because he drag raced it. That's how I learned to drive clutch, because I just didn't have an opportunity before then to really get into one. And so, you know, and if he drove it, I wanted to drive it too. I've never driven a fire engine. He's done that, but I haven't. But I'll drive the ambulances and that kind of thing.
Okay.
I even towed a car once.
Well, did you ever drag race his car?
Yes, I did. Not in competition, but I did take it down the track. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that would be just to step into try to get familiar with a competition clutch is a little bit different than an everyday manual.
Yeah. Well, you had to stand on it a little harder.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So I see you were, it's just a list of things, accomplishments, and many things you've done. I see where you were 2007 50 best women in business in Pennsylvania. And that's quite an accomplishment. It's something to be proud of, especially. Yeah. Were you the only one that was actually in business as an automotive shop owner?
Yes. A lot of them were the typical bankers and lawyers and that kind of thing. Mine was a little less typical job to be an automotive shop owner. But I think they were excited about that because it was good to see someone that was in an industry that was non-traditional female, mm-hmm. but yet still being successful at it.
So if someone was to ask you, the single favorite part of this industry that you have in the automotive industry, whether it be repair or whatever, what would you say that your favorite part of being in the automotive industry was?
My most favorite part is to get behind the wheel of something that's really got a lot of horsepower and just let it rip. I'm a motorhead, and I know that.
Well, you know, that's half of the process mm-hmm. to overcome is to admitting that. So.
But I really, what I love about the industry, the challenge it brings every day, the customers that come in and say, thank you so much for taking care of my daughter's car while she's up there at college near you. They call us on the phone and say, thank you so much. Just the customers, thank yous for things that we've done and made their day better.
Yeah, I've experienced that. I've got a daughter away at college, and
mm-hmm.
fortunately, I've used some resources that I had available to me to mm-hmm. be able to find someone there to repair a car when I was not able to get there in a short period of time. And that's extremely important to have someone, have a shop that, as a parent, mm-hmm. you can trust to send your college student to get their car looked at or fixed. So we'll talk a little bit more about your shop. So originally your dad's shop, small gas station, was it one or two bays maybe?
Well, we kept adding, but it was probably started with two bays, and then it went to four, and then and then five. But then we also had a radiator shop at the time, too. But we've been through a lot of changes, a lot of evolutions, I guess you would say, as the industry changed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then we, in 1974, and no, 75, we moved the whole business from the old original shop to a shop that we're not in anymore. It was about a 5,000 square foot building, still only had six employees. That's when I came on as a full-time staffer. I was the only female, of course, and mostly all family. And people that weren't family were probably just were cousins. Like, they weren't brothers and sisters, were cousins.
Right.
But then from there, we moved forward and took gas pumps out. The gasoline industry kind of went different, and the liability on underground tanks shifted a lot from the oil company to the operator. And we also added auto sales, but every time we added a division, we would do it at our customer's request. They say, you know, you fix my cars, why don't you start selling cars? And we could buy our cars from you. And that's kind of how it started, the auto sales division. And then we moved to this facility in 2000, and we added a quick lube, which is separate from my shop. It's on the side, and it's a two-bay quick lube. That was also at the request of our customers. You know, it's just such an inconvenience to have an oil change. I don't want to leave my car. Mm-hmm. So we made a little bit bigger office and waiting area because we knew that the quick lube would have that as well.
Right.
We need to have that. So, yeah.
That's very good advice. That's very good advice for someone at your customer's request.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Being able to add on, because your customers at that point, they're telling you what they want to spend money with you or how they want to spend money with you. And listening to that obviously has been successful for Zimmerman Automotive. Mm-hmm. You know, your 20,000 square foot facility, technicians, you got six ASE certified technicians. I'm sure you've got some other technicians with 12 bays.
We have a service manager who's also ASE certified. And then we have two service writers as well that are the one used to be a tech, and the other one worked in quick lubes for quite a few years before he started service writing.
So how important is a trained technician in the bay? I mean, whether it be female or male, how important is that they're up to date on today's vehicles and systems within the car?
How important? It's priceless. it's just absolutely necessary, especially being independent. We're not just doing one brand. We're working on families of vehicles, and those families will own a BMW, but they'll also own, or a Volvo, but then they'll also own a GM product for a couple of the kids. And so my customers have probably four brands sitting in their driveway, so I can work on all their vehicles, not just, like, if I'm a dealer, I'm the name brand, you know, the one brand. I can work on all of them. It takes a little more innovation and training with to stay abreast on the latest for that many vehicles. But in the long run, it's very worth it.
And leading into that, I mean, do you require your technicians to attend so many hours of training a year? Do you provide in-shop
Absolutely.
Training? What do you feel is the best?
About 2 years ago, we came up with they must have 20 hours of training per year. Now, it didn't mean that I was going to call everything. If they came up with something they really would like to see, they'd like to try it, and I would look at it and approve it. Doesn't mean that it had to all be, you know, the stuff that the vendors might have put out and that kind of thing. Or all TechNet or something like that. It had to. They could do a variety of things, as well as their certifications for state of Pennsylvania also counted for that. We have to recertify our emissions every 2 years, which is a 4-hour class. And
okay.
Then state inspection, I think they're going to have to do now too. But training is just vital. It just has to happen. And I'm planning to up the 20 hours yet, but we haven't come up with a figure yet.
Well, and if you don't mind me asking, that training, can they do that during the daytime hours? Is that something?
Yes, I am not against sending them to training and paying them to be there. They can do that. They can do some at night. It's kind of, they can decide where they want to do that. And if they take a night class, I'll give them a half a day off during the day. You like, because I want them to still have a family life. And obviously they've got kids, they have a wife, whatever, or spouse, and they have a life outside of here. And I want to respect that. And so basically we just, we'll kind of switch it around. The only time I don't pay them for training is a couple times a year we have a local association has like a convention. That's a lot of fun stuff. And I will give them credit for their training hours, but I don't pay them to be there all weekend, but I do pay their way.
So would you agree that there is definitely a return on investment? When you pay a technician his hours to go set in 4 hours of training, do you believe that really is good money spent for the future of your repair shop?
Yes, I do. It has to happen that way. Can't expect them to do all the training on their own time. And their own dollar, for that matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I'm a firm believer in. For that technician to be able to get training without sacrificing family.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Yeah. And probably, I mean, usually, my experience, it leads to technicians that stay at the same place for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Not much turnover in shops that take care of their technicians like that. So.
No. There usually isn't. Once in a while, you get one that moves or something like that, and then there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
But anyway.
So, and I kind of group this together. How much importance do you believe that those young females out there that are at the high school age, if they're driven to be in repair industry, in the auto industry, how important is it for them to follow that if it's really their passion? I mean, a lot, and the reason why I say that, I believe there's a lot of talented female students that would be excellent and would enjoy the automotive industry, but I think they're maybe discouraged either by their teacher or by their parents or by their peers.
I think my opinion is, no matter what, if you have a passion for an industry or a passion to do something, it has to be followed, because sooner or later, you're going to come back and say, I wonder if I could have done that. I really, and when things are rough in where you're at, you may say, wow, I really should have done that. And many times I think they go back and they do it. I know working with the scholarships on women, many of the women, female students are not just coming out of high school. A lot of them are going back and doing something that they have always liked, but were discouraged by parents or by finance. Sometimes finances can do that too. Or they started having children too young, or were told that that's for guys. But if it's really your passion, why wouldn't you follow it? You just have to.
Yeah, and I had the fortunate, and we're actually going to have her on one of the podcasts in the future, Summer Miller. She was the recipient of the Women in Auto Care scholarship, the $10,000 scholarship. And I want to commend you, first off, I mean, being a member of that association, but also how that industry or that association is really striving to highlight the abilities and the talents of women in the automotive repair industry. So I want to applaud you for that.
And I'm
looking forward to that podcast. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So you run a successful shop. It's grown. Employs 29 people in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got so many things going on. How do you feel that your shop separates itself from the other competition, the other repair shops in Mechanicsburg? What keeps the customer coming to your facility?
Well, I provide a quality service at a quality price. I didn't say cheap. I said a quality price. And I strive to provide the ultimate customer service. It's the service that makes you want to come back, knowing that you might pay $5 more than you pay up the street where the guy that's cheap, knowing that when I diagnose your car, I'm not throwing parts at it. I'm realizing that this part is I've tested it and we know that it's not working properly.
Right.
And then being willing to, and then we're always willing to resolve issues if, you know, cars aren't cars can be finicky sometimes. And, and if there's an issue that's not, you know, a customer's not happy with, we're willing to sit down and talk about it with them and try and work it through that it's, that's a good situation for both of us. And, you know, just knowing that they can trust me as a, not just as a repair person, but as a family friend. You know, you know, you get to know your lawyer, you get to know your preacher, et cetera, et cetera. And I think more and more you need to get to know your automotive technician too. You just need to, it's got to be somebody that you can count on them to give you the right story every time. And I think our industry in the past has failed people a lot. And I still know people down the street that are doing it to people. They're getting them for everything they can. And that's the difference here. We're not going to do that to people. We are going to give you what we feel it needs. And if you don't agree with my opinion, that's okay. But, you know, you can go somewhere else.
Right. Well, and I think you kind of hit on it there for just a second there. The industry has gotten a bad rap.
Uh-huh.
We've been an industry, having been in the industry 30 plus years myself, you know, I remember when a tune-up was actually a tune-up, and you had customers that trusted you and didn't question everything that you'd done. But the industry itself, I believe, has kind of reduced that customer, reduced them to the point where they some, especially new customers. Now, I'm not talking about your customers that you've worked on their grandparents' vehicle, but I'm talking about a new customer that has never been to your shop. They, because of the industry itself and because of the media possibly, has created some conscious fear or concern or doubt about this industry. And that statement you made is so true, being able to have your customers be able to trust you. Very, yeah. Very important. So how's your shop? I mean, I'm assuming, or not assuming, I feel confident in saying this, but you're probably already looking at connected cars and telematics and how you're going to service them and hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sending technicians to hybrid training or telematics?
Yes, I'm actually staying on cutting edge. One of the things that my husband, Jeff, is he was on CCPM, which is the service providers network of the Auto Care Association for many years. And he also has stayed on the cusp of the legislation of telematics. And they're launching a to the public to let them know what their car really is putting out, the kind of information it's storing and the kind that it's sending to somewhere, just so that you realize that it's your car, the data belongs to you too, and not the manufacturer. So we're staying on the latest. And I do have guys that are hybrid trained. And I also have guys that I also have been to a lot of training on connected cars, as well as the connected cars, the autonomous cars, and so on and so forth. And I find that technology just totally, it blows your mind sometimes, but I love it. I just love that. And I've been to quite a few seminars especially on the autonomous cars and so on. And I follow Google and all their fun stuff that they do with their autonomous cars.
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting. And being in the industry as long as you have, and you've seen quite a few changes. Many, many different things have changed. We went from points, electronic ignition, from carburetors to fuel injection to GDI, and it just continues to change. And I think the industry will continue to evolve. We just got to be able to have the repair industry that can support it, the independent repair facility that can support that type of innovation. So, I mean, you're very busy in the community. I see you're a board member of development committee for New Hope Ministries. Is that correct? Which is a faith-based industry. Yeah. And that helps give a hand up to local families and individuals that need help and stabilization. And then you're a Chamber of Commerce, Independent Auto Dealers Association member, Women in Auto Care Association. I mean, just a list of things that you're involved with in your community. And I want to applaud you for that. Not only being a shop owner that takes care of the employees and that helps the community too, but being active in your community. I applaud you for that. So, with all that things going on, what kind of goals do you have for the shop in 10 years, in 5 years?
My goals are to stay abreast with auto care providing the ultimate service to customers, whatever that's going to mean 10 years from now. And also it involves looking at other ways to make money, not, you know, key. One of the things that we're looking at right now is, if you look, you know, that key that the brand new cars have that have all kinds of computer chips and so on in, mm-hmm. is getting the licensing, required to be able to be the locksmith that can make those keys or can reprogram them and that kind of thing. That's what we're looking, something I'm looking, I have staff looking that, into that right now. So just looking at other profit centers in the industry that may be coming that we're just probably on the edge of right now. So what will we look like 10 years from now? Probably don't know exactly, but I just know that we want to still be here and we're going to do anything we can to change and move forward and add new divisions or new things that we do to make sure we're taking care of the cars today and tomorrow.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, 10, 15 years, you've mentioned that you're currently got a third generation moving up into the business. And it was your daughter, I believe you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
She has worked in our Quick Lubes. We had a Quick Lube at a different location for a while. She's worked in our Quick Lubes, and she's actually worked on cars even more than I have. And so, but now she has more of an administrative position, handling a lot of the HR, the lower end HR things, and so on. And, kind of just looking at our shop, looking at how we treat our customers and what we offer them going from there.
Again, building that relationship, that foundation.
Absolutely.
We've all seen it. Yeah. And I've seen it where maybe the son or the daughter was in the business because their dad owned the business.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned earlier, you mentioned it as a W-2 employee. That was actually an employee. And you didn't have the job just because your dad run the business. And I'm sure your daughter's the same way. She doesn't have the job just because her mom runs the business.
Nope.
And that's great. That's a great thing. And the customers see that and they appreciate that also.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple more questions. One question is I always like to ask is, what's your favorite car? If you could have any car you wanted, what would it be in your garage?
In my garage, it would be a Hellcat Charger.
You do like the speed then.
I do. Well, you know, my family does, my husband and I do bleed Mopar. And you can tell that when you walk the halls of the business because there's a lot of Mopar art. But that's just the way it's always been.
Right.
We used to race Mopars and we've had about four muscle cars and then we had a 2006 Dodge Charger SRT8. We bought one of the first SRT8s in the Harrisburg area. And someday maybe we'll have a Hellcat. I don't know. Right now I can't quite justify it, but I also I'm a little scared of what I might do with it too.
Well, the Pennsylvania police are always willing to give you a ticket if you require it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I know.
Well, that sounds like experience, Judy.
Yeah. No comment.
I understand that. So one more thing. I mean, Judy, I just want to express I've really, really have enjoyed our conversation. And we met. I introduced myself at the Women in Auto Care Board reception and.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked a few times and I've really, really enjoyed this information, the story that you've created and your family has created there in Mechanicsburg and just how, I mean, I truly believe your shop is an example of what is right to do. I'm sure there's been things that you could tell us that were horror stories of things that happened that was not the right thing to do.
Sure.
But you've been able to adapt and overcome those and become a very successful shop. And I'm excited. Maybe I'll be in Mechanicsburg someday. And I'm definitely going to stop by and see the Mopar memorabilia because I'm kind of a Mopar guy myself. I've always had Mopar. And I do like Mopar. So... What is your opinions of this industry and the direction it's headed and the direction it's been in the past 30 years? Yeah, the great part about getting your opinions and your ideas, Judy, is you've seen a lot of changes and you've seen more and more females going into the industry. What's some of your thoughts? If you had a young lady, what would you tell her?
I would tell her she needs to follow her passion, number one, and also be willing to accept change. It is a vastly changing industry. It's an industry that you can't sit on your laurels or you're going to fall back. Of course, that's true with a lot of things, but especially in the automotive industry, we're at the cusp of a lot of really cool stuff, a lot of scary stuff maybe sometimes, but I really think in the long run, if you really want something and you like it, you need to go for it and not let anybody beside you get in your way and bother you. You need to just do what you need to do to move the industry forward.
That's great. That's great advice. And as we continue into this industry and as it evolves, I truly hope and I believe I've done training for community colleges and automotive training for the last 6-8 years. And I continue to see more and more females in the classes. So I do believe the females' role in this industry is increasing, because there is a lot of talent out there that I think sometimes has been shunned from the industry by the industry itself. And I also believe that they've been discouraged from going into the industry by whether it be a counselor or parents
or
you know, because sure. I mean, this industry has changed. I mean, we don't, as technicians, we shouldn't be walking around with a greasy rag in our back pocket. We're not that anymore. We're working on $80,000 rolling computers and
correct.
And getting not just women. I mean, we've talked about women in the industry a little bit, but both men and women getting that image projected and getting them, because there is, the numbers and the statistics show it, the loss of technicians. And it's not a real bright future for technicians coming into this industry. I think that we're headed towards a cliff in that. I've said this statistic quite often, but 70% of today's technicians are over 45 years old. So I think we're headed to a cliff. And we've got to be prepared as an industry, and especially as independent shop owners. We've got to look at that. And I commend you for being especially having the high school students there and the quick lube, getting their feet wet in this industry. One of them could be the next shop owner.
That's correct.
So that's really, I commend you for being that position in this industry and trying to forward and always showing a good impression of the industry. I really commend you for that. Anything you would want to add to this that you feel needs to be mentioned?
Just get on board. The train's in motion. Get on board, because this industry is going to give you a good ride if you're willing to take it.
Yeah, very good advice, Judy. And like I said, I hope I get to Mechanicsburg in the future, and I'm going
to
stop by and see how things are. Absolutely.
We
would love to stop by and see how things are. But I want to thank you. I want to commend you for what you're doing in the industry and your entire family. I commend you for that, and your dad and your granddad and your uncles and your husband. I commend you all for what you're doing for the industry. You're creating a positive image that this industry does dearly need. So I thank you for that. Thank you for your time. I've kept
you
from your customers for a little while now, and I apologize for that, but I really have enjoyed it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed your time together.
Thanks, Judy.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Technician Academy podcast, brought to you by Extend Performance. Don't forget to visit us online at technician.academy. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Technician.academy, built to educate.